We're really fortunate today to have a speaker on a different kind of tax. I know we spend a lot of time talking about federal income tax and state franchise and sales taxes here, but today we're going to talk about property taxes, because if you watch the legislature, you know that that's a hot topic this year. Our speaker is Jennifer Rabb. She is the president of the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. She provides strategic and policy leadership for that organization. It's a nonprofit, member-supported business taxpayer advocacy group here in Austin. And she has broad experience in tax law and policy. She had 17 years as a practicing attorney and then went to work for the Lieutenant Governor, the House Ways and Means Committee, and the Comptroller of Public Accounts for the state of Texas. She's recently been a fellow at Rice Institute's Baker Institute for Public Policy and the director of the McNair Center for Entrepreneurship and Economic Growth. She is a proud graduate of the University of Texas School of Law and has an LLM from my law school in taxation, Southern Methodist University in Dallas. Please help us welcome Jennifer.
Thank you, Maxine. Thank you for having me today. My apologies in advance. At least two people in the audience have seen this presentation before, and I'm sorry for that. I'll try to I'll still try to make it interesting for you. Let's see. How does the clicker work? Where do I point? Let's see. Okay, there we go. The topics for today are, in general, the property tax relief that the Texas legislature voted. Assisted by the voters in constitutional amendment election at the beginning of November, a new 20% appraisal cap pilot program that we will have beginning next year, new legislation on appraisal district governance, a few other property tax bills of significance, as well as the new economic development incentive program that we'll have here in Texas starting next year, the Jobs, Energy, Technology, and Innovation Act, the JETI Act. And I also saved a bit for recent developments because we were asked to turn in our materials for our presentations today at the beginning of November, which was before the constitutional amendments were approved by voters on November 7th. So at the time I prepared the materials, I didn't know whether this was still all going to be relevant or not. Anyway, let's go into property tax relief to get started. When the legislature came to town in January of this year, they had a $36 billion surplus to work with. Governor Abbott pledged to return half of that to taxpayers in the form of property tax relief. That's almost exactly what happened. There are a number of elements to the property tax relief package that the legislature passed. It began with 10 cents of school M&O rate tax compression, which I'll explain in a moment. That was actually slated under current law when the legislature came into session. So if the school finance formulas had operated as intended, taxpayers would already have received that 10 cents of rate compression. The reason the governor can claim credit for it as part of the $18 billion of relief is that it's not operative unless it's funded in the Appropriations Act. So the legislature did fund that 10 cents of relief and then added an additional 10.7 cents of school M&O rate tax compression. So rate compression, if you don't know, is the state's buy down of local school tax rates. Through the school finance formulas, the Texas Education Agency each year tells districts what their M&O tax rate can be based on the amount of taxable value they have within the district, and they have a little bit of leeway on that in the form of what are called golden pennies and copper pennies, a couple cents in addition to the tax rate that the TEA tells the school district they can impose for maintenance and operations. So that's rate compression. So the property tax relief package delivered 20.7 cents of M&O tax rate compression to each school district in the state.